Tell me, John, how long have you lived here?
Well, I lived here off and on all my life. I was born and raised. Up there on Ledbetter Road, you know, where that first apartment setting up there on that corner on MacArthur Boulevard?
Okay, in Los Colinas, in that area?
Yeah, going down MacArthur, you know, towards Irving.
Yeah.
That first apartment up there
on
that corner, that's where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm. What kind of house did you have?
Well, we got some pictures of it after it was, Dairy Bulls lived there for 20 years and stuff. And put hay in it, and I took some pictures. Well, we had some pictures of it before. Where do you remember? Where are them pictures of it?
Big frame house with a porch, was it? Or what kind of house?
Yeah, it was a, well, I think when they first built it, it was 2 or 3 rooms, and they kept adding on to it, and we finally had, I think, 3 or 4 bedrooms to it. It was a pretty nice house, them days.
Yeah. It was a farmhouse, was it?
Those pictures, the front porch had been pulled off of them.
And about your water situation,
though. Yeah. Where's that picture of the truck sitting in front of the house up there one time? You ride around here? You're sitting up on that hill. You see the big hill up there, and the front end is about this high off the ground. We'd always put a wagon load of potatoes under it, arch potatoes and sweet potatoes under one end of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Never have a lot to put potatoes.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Put sand and hay in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, what year were you born?
1970.
So... So that was that the house you were born in? And it was on Ledbetter Road. Didn't they call it Ledbetter Road in those days?
Well, see, that road at one time was Dillbacker Road.
Mm-hmm.
When it was first built. And Ledbetter moved in there about a month before we did. So they changed it to Ledbetter Road.
Really?
That's why I understood it was.
Mm-hmm. About that. Who was Ledbetter? Just another family that built a house in there?
No, you know Ledbetter, don't
you? Oh, was it? Well, I know a couple. Which one?
Well, the old man and the old lady lived there, then.
The one that lived down here on Bethel School, not far from me, used to give me piano lessons. Is that the Ledbetter?
Yeah.
No, there's
I think one girl, the oldest girl, lives in Louisville. She, I think, in Vernon. I think she's somebody says she's right at 90 now.
Anyway, it was a family of Ledbetters that built a house there a little bit before you think?
Yeah.
And they moved in there?
Just about 3/4 mile west of the...
Well, let me think. Ledbetter. Now, I'm thinking MacArthur. If I go down Sandy Lake Road and turn right on MacArthur...
See, that road's closed now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Ledbetter's one that used to go all the way up through the, what we call the bottom in those days, and up and comes back to Beltline.
Yeah.
There by the Long Branch Saloon. Right, and that would have been, yeah, okay, so you went, were up in there. Yeah.
See, we was the first house up on the hill, as you entered the hill, that was all bottom, in the, and across the road there was some rent houses, Joe Field's place, and they had rent houses there.
So, well, the Ledbetter Road used to just go in there where the Long Branch Saloon is, and it would turn eventually and go to the right. And wander up in through the bottom up there and eventually come out on, what was it, Hackberry?
Hackberry, yeah.
Right, now where was your house in relation to all that? If I were to go to it today, I know the road's gone.
Do you know where MacArthur is now?
Yeah.
Going towards Irving off the Beltline here.
Yeah, so turn on MacArthur and still Ledbetter.
Well, Ledbetter's not there.
Yeah, but I mean, that road that goes by.
The Ledbetter Road used to go right north of Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It went straight to the river, and then just on our corner of our property, it turned and went right through our property where the racetrack is. You know where the racetrack is?
Yeah.
Well, our land was on the other side of where the racetrack is and on this side, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So right there at that bend of the road.
And as you get up on top of the hill, that's where the house was.
Mm-hmm.
The first apartment that's built right there in that southeast corner,
mm-hmm.
from the Dallas Cowboys, you know where their corner
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
That first apartment, that's where our old home was.
Right.
And Leadbutter Road was right next to it. Mm-hmm. It went over the hill and went west, and then it turned back south and came out on Hagberry.
I do remember it because when I was a kid, I'd ride my bicycle down in that area, and I don't remember a lot about it because it wasn't too long ago. But
ever since, I guess the last 5 or 6 years, they shut that Leadbutter Road down. And
It's all gone. I went back up in there one day and looked at it.
Yeah, you can
still see where it joins Hackberry, and you can still see down here in front of Long Branch Saloon. And when you go back up in there, it's gone.
Well, that Long Branch Saloon, it goes all the way where the corner area was up there, and when you turn back from the hill, that's the end of it right now. I think you could go back up to that old creek up there. I was in there all last summer, I think, was just riding around it. But it tore up rough trash all in the road.
Yeah. How long did your parents live here before you were born, Johnny? A long time? Or?
I think they moved up in 1908.
So your family's been around here a long time. Where did they come from? You remember?
Well, they came from Haskell, West Texas. Haskell County.
And did they move here to farm, or what brought them here?
Well, see, he was renting. Daddy was born in Weimar, the little town next to it there. He was born over there, and I understand now that that's where Mother was born. I don't know whether you don't know Frank, my other one, my brother. His boy is trying to get things together. He's been working on it for several years now. And he said Mother was born over there, too. I thought she was born up here in Granger. But they said they're both born up there, close to Houston. No, not too close to Houston. Weimar.
When they moved here, and even after you were born, did they farm and have livestock? Is that what they did?
That's what we had 286 acres in that bottom over there. And it was mostly woods when they moved up here. And they grubbed it out, and the whole thing. Now, the only woods is there, they're still up there. The MacArthur Boulevard goes right through the middle of them. I don't know if you're going down the road towards Irving there. There's some woods. After you cross the creek, that bridge there, on one side, and that went right through that neck of woods. There's only woods left up there. They kept that for firewood and stuff.
Did your parents raise what, cotton?
And a little cotton, corn, hogs, cattle. Mostly cotton and oats and stuff like that. We farmed with mules till 1937, 38.
Yeah, when you...
40 head of mules all the time.
Oh, really? When did you or your family move away from the house?
Well, I left there in 1941 when I went to service. And just as I came back, we sold it in 1947. Mother, and then of course I moved up the old J. Frank Wilson place. I don't know whether you remember it. You know where Cowboy Drive butts into the lake. There was a house right across the
where the lake is. Now?
Where the lake is, J. Frank Wilson house. I moved in there 1946, didn't I? After I got out of service.
So if the house were still there, it'd be in the water.
Right.
Yeah, she lived there.
See, I never knew that. I was, of course, was born in 47 here, but by the time I was here, there were no houses there, and the lake went in 57 or 6 or something. But I don't even remember any houses in there at the time. But I guess they were there.
Willingham
lived? Jeff Willingham lived just a little bit
across the street.
East of the school. went to high school.
My high school.
He was on the west side.
So was the Willingham House, yeah. Was the Willingham House, though, wouldn't be the same location that... I always thought maybe the Willingham House was in the same location as that house where Peter used to live, my grandmother
no,
used to live.
No,
it was,
it was
back
the,
up there?
It was further down from Cowboy yeah. Drive. There's some bushes out there. As you go on Cowboy Drive, on the left-hand side, there's some trees out there. A clump of trees up there.
Oh, now you're talking about before you get to the high school on Cowboy Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Off to
your
left.
No, it's on the other side of Cowboy
well,
Drive.
If you go all the way to the high school, and onward is not a road officially. Is that right?
We're talking about on the Beltline. They live on the
Beltline.
Oh,
I see. Oh,
Willingham was way off the road. Face. He was a quarter mile almost off the road there.
But he faced Beltline?
He faced Beltline. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was, I guess it was Beltline then. But it was just too late.
So we would say that Willingham, because I know he was sort of a pioneer family around here. Mm-hmm. The Willingham house faced Beltline, mm-hmm. what we call Beltline, but was a quarter of a mile...
west of Beltline.
West of Beltline. And would you say it was, how far from Cowboy Drive was it?
Oh, I'd say 500-600 feet, maybe 600-700 feet. There's a clump of trees out there, and I think there's a cedar tree or two out there.
Was that
the first building up, not the next to the school house up there, another building, and then there's another building up there, mm-hmm. that middle building up there, you're right, about east of that, just where I'm right now. He was county commissioner.
Oh, really? Now tell me, while we're on the subject of roads, I've done a lot of research on the roads. Let me ask you some questions about roads. First of all, go back as far as you can remember. What was Beltline Road called? Do you remember it being called Beltline?
It seemed like it did.
Well, it was Beltline. I told you, I don't know what it was called up there. You know, this used to be the main highway right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
That was 77 highway going into
Denton Road, wasn't it?
Going north to Oklahoma.
Do you know when all the controversy, I'll tell you a little secret, when all the controversy over Denton Tap was going on, you know, they wanted to change it, and the city council controversy, I was saying, I know where Denton Tap came from, I know it, Tap Denton Road. Most people don't know the same relation, it used to be Denton Road. My father says he remembers going to Denton by passing through here, turning right up there and going up over the river and the creek and going on to Denton. And I found that on some old maps. I finally found where, I haven't been able to determine exactly when Denton Road became Sandy Lake Road, or why it became Sandy Lake Road. You got any idea?
Well, they was working on 77 when we had the record for it, wasn't it? 47. I guess it started, they must have started working on this road while I was in service. They were changing the old 77 road, you know, where it's at now.
Mm-hmm. Talking about I-35.
35.
Right?
Because when I left for service, this was still the main road right here. Mm-hmm. 41.
Mm-hmm.
I left in December.
Well, now am I right in assuming? Now, where were you born?
In Ennis.
Ennis, but you were in this area, weren't you?
We lived here in 40.
Or do you actually to Coppell or
to
Carrollton.
Carrollton, Trouty Mills.
Yeah. All right, you may know some of this stuff too. Was Sandy Lake, some of those gravel pit lakes up there, and is that where Sandy Lake, the name Sandy Lake came from? Where Sandy Lake swimming pool is now?
That may be it because at that time, Francis McLean,
you
know, he started
anonymous alcoholic.
Right, tell me about that. I know some about that, but not much. I wrote the man who owned Sandy Lake Pool to the address they told me to write him, and he never answered my letter.
Well, he died about a year and a half ago.
Well, maybe he is dead when I wrote the letter. Maybe that was it.
He got one son, John.
What's his name? Francis? McClain?
He used to be Francis McClain. We buried him about a year and a half. A year and a half ago, wasn't it?
And he built?
What he did, he had those guys up there. And they built that the swimming pool up there. With, he had an old drag line, and he sold the dirt and stuff. And they put laid the tile and everything and made that swimming pool where them old drunks did.
Now, wait a minute. Tell me about the drunks. He had a place for alcoholics. Sanitarium, is that what you call it?
Well, yes, I guess that's what he was. But,
so he ran a gravel pit, what he ran, right?
Dirt and stuff. But see, he was an alcoholic himself.
Uh-huh.
And one time when the river's out, Boots and I, we had some cattle open. Boots had some cattle over in the pasture. He had, I think there was 80 acres in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there, and that water, where the Sandy Lake was all underwater, that all used to overflow. Over there.
Mm-hmm.
Or that trailer park and that used to overflow the whole thing.
But that was overflowing from the Elm Fork of the Trinity, right? The Trinity River.
Mm-hmm. And so we went out there that day. We were on horseback. That's the only way we'd get Carrollton. And that old Dell was out there in a ditch, and he was almost drowned. Drunk as a
bastard. Did he already have his...
See, his mother owned a bunch of property in Dallas and stuff, and mm-hmm. she got, that used to be his mother, and then she gave it to him, and he went up there, and he's supposed to be working on that, trying to get straightened up, and still he was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally told him if he didn't shape up, she was going to take away from him, so he finally... straighten up, and that old boy never did drink after that, and then he got to working. He got 25, 30 people at one time.
And this was, but now, when did he actually come up with this?
This hospital deal, I guess. We had that business up there on Sandy Lake.
Well, we were married in 46.
And we was up there about...
It happened in 46, 47.
46, 47, I think that's when he first started. Because we had
And he took alcoholics in and tried to rehabilitate them?
Mm-hmm.
Did he have staff to do that?
He had a doctor come up there every now and then, I think. And them old boys get so sick they'd be up there, and I think they just pour you down and get them sick.
Now, when did you think they built the swimming pool?
By the time they started work, I guess somewhere in 1945, 46. That was somewhere up in there.
And he just did it because he had the manpower?
Manpower
and the land? And
the land and everything. And his boys stayed with us up here for 1 year with school.
And your son is John. That may have been the one I wrote with John. I know I just called the swimming pool and said, who can I talk to about some things? And they gave me this name and address in Dallas, the post office box in Dallas.
Farmer's Branch.
No, it was a Dallas address, but you know Farmer's Branch is Dallas, too. I may write him again.
He used to come to church and sent the old man all the time with the old man on the last few years. And since he died, I don't believe I've seen that boy.
But he still owns the pool and everything?
No, he sold it.
No, he didn't.
He sold it to somebody else. I think it changed hands after that, or he wants to.
Now, as far as you know, he just built his pool to be a public pool and opened it up to make money.
I guess so.
You know, it's one of the biggest in Southwest, at least it used to be. Now, I spent half my childhood down there.
Yeah.
It's a big pool.
While we're on the subject of that road, one of the questions I have, I know, for example, there is a reference in an old, old, old book from the Dallas Public Library. Very little is ever said about Coppell or Gibbs or whatever you want to call it. But one of the few things that's mentioned in a very old book that was written before 1900, I think, is that the Trinity Mills Crossing, which was apparently a ferry or a bridge, gave access to the parish community, or we know the parishes were Coppell or Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question I've always had is exactly where did Trinity Mills Crossing, what did it cross? Did it cross the Trinity, or did it cross one of the creeks at Trinity Mills? Because Trinity Mills was up on what is now Trinity Mills Road, right? I mean, there was a community up there. I know a little bit about it. But exactly where was the crossing? Do you have any idea?
Well, I thought that it was where we lived, right there. But it was just a railroad track, you know.
Yeah, well, of course, the railroad came to be called the crossing.
Yeah.
That's one of the confusion. Like, In the days before it was convenient to get down through that bottom land around Trinity Mills and Coppell, it flooded all the time. Now you had to cross, if you look on a map, you had to cross the Trinity to get here. Beltline does that, down Fork of the Trinity. Or you had to cross one of the creeks that came off of it. Denton Creek is one of them. So one way or another, you had to cross a major amount of water to get to Coppell. I would assume you crossed it somewhere on what is now Sandy Lake Road. It makes sense.
Well, you know, the old bridge used to be about 600-700 feet down from Longhorn Branch.
Okay. Where there's a bridge now?
Yeah, well, there's a bridge next to the railroad now.
Yeah. But you mean that it was further south?
Oh, yeah, about 500-600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That bridge was well. It wasn't in use already then.
But you're telling me that the original way you got from, if you were going to go down through the bottom from Coppell to Carrollton, you went actually further south to get over a bridge and go over the river.
Yeah.
Then did the road eventually come back and get into Carrollton?
It came right around the river and back to the railroad on the other side. See, this Beltline Road wasn't there for, I don't think it was built somewhere.
Yeah, I got it somewhere still. You know, who told me some of that was John Arthur, Mike Arthur's father, your grandfather. He used to work on the roads all the time.
Yeah,
he told me a lot of it. All right, you think it was about 600 feet south of where it is now?
About 600 feet?
The wooden bridge?
Well, it had steel runners in it and everything. Let me tell you a story about it.
Mm-hmm.
Back in about 1939, that's when Boots Lassie was daring to cross the road from us.
Mm-hmm.
There on that better road.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Joe Field's place. It was about 200 or 300 acres across the river. He just run cows in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting them cows out of there one night. The whole country was underwater. We were getting them cows out, but we were on the other side of the bridge. We had them all around there. I had 15, 20 people over there trying to get them across the bridge. Couldn't get them across the bridge. So we were dragging them with a rope around and dragging across that big bridge. It was a long bridge, too. And about 11 o'clock that night, it was just pouring down rain, and boy, the river banks were running over the banks everywhere. And we got off that bridge, and we got about 30, 40 feet on this side of the bridge, and we heard something slash. Bless you, you know. We went back over in that hole in that bridge cave in.
Mm-hmm. And did the county keep that up?
Oh, yeah.
Wonder if there's any part of it left?
No.
Every inch of it's gone.
Oh, there may be some of them steel pillars, concrete piers still up there. I think they are right there.
Now, if I went down the road that goes in front of the log range,
you go down in that road, kind of make the ass turn right there.
Uh-huh.
On this side of that concrete plant.
Okay.
But
it's before you would make the sharp right-hand turn.
Well, it's right there in that turn.
Right there in that turn. It'd be off to the left, over the river.
I think there's a still a 2x12 nails with some boards across there.
Seems like there is something. That's why they had...
Tell me, is it likely then that the road that goes by the log branch actually is the way you went up there and then either went left over the bridge or went right on Ledbetter Road? Is that the way it connected?
Well, see that road next to the west of the river belt line, that road used to, when I was a little kid, that road wasn't there.
Beltline itself, yeah.
But I think it might have been just a dirt road then.
So
I guess it was probably. It was all dirt road.
So the way to get in over there then was to come through Ledbetter Road off of Hackberry and up around there. So really...
I guess it was because Preacher Thompson lived up here in West Texas, Fire and Light, and that. There used to be some people who lived right there on that creek there. What was their name? Crows used to live up there. Burkhart lived up there where Kenneth Hodge's old place was in there. See, Crows used to live in there. No man, Burkhart lived in there. That's been.
Well, you know, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but right in that area you're talking about where that bridge is, somewhere up in there, is not only the Trinity, the river that comes through there, but branching off from that then is Grapevine Creek. Somewhere right up there, it branches off and it makes its way to the one that crosses through Coppell's and everything.
So,
no,
it's further.
Further south?
Further south.
Yeah.
Well, we built that in there by hand.
Did you?
15 prisoners. That creek, the Grapevine branches went right, went through Stemmons old place up here, that where the bridge is now.
Mm-hmm.
Went up there when it got corner of our property, it went through our property and then through Joe Field. We built that creek up there in the middle 30s with team prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you cut it so that it would
drain the
run.
Yeah, I never forget that. We Stemmons did his. Across here, we did ours, and when we got to Joe Field, when we got to Ledbetter Road, Joe Field was south of it. He says, "I'm not going to spend no money on the creek."
Mm-hmm.
So we pitched in there and built his to the river.
That would keep it from flooding, man.
Get rid of the water.
Do you remember being up in that area? Was there ever any evidence of a lot of Indians in the past?
See, we're right there for the northwest end of the apartment on MacArthur Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
where the old dairy, where we had the dairy barn up there when we dairied.
Mm-hmm.
You had, that's what used to be a gravel pit up there. That's where they used to get gravel, county did for all their roads right
mm-hmm.
up there. We sold them gravel 25 cents a yard.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see anything of Indians?
Well,
Indian arrowheads, things
there,
like
there
that.
There was, when they were digging that gravel, they'd dig up skeletons there were now and then. And Indian arrowheads, you could go up there on top of that hill up there after a rain. Why after a rain? I guess it would wash the sand off of it. I had a shoebox full of Indian arrowheads. Indian hatchet where they're out of rock, you know, where they're made a real hatchet out of rock.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch of that stuff. When I went off service, when they sold our place over, I don't know where they left, run off, just left all that stuff up there. But
mm-hmm.
I lost all of it.
Well, you know, the history that I've delved into at the State Archives and everything confirms the fact that this was Indian camping grounds all through here, particularly along Grapevine Creek, which would be there, but then also in the old park, of course, which we know a lot, and up here on Denton Creek, and then around over on Cottonwood Creek, was a very popular camping ground. And I just wondered if you...
Well, Dad rode horseback from Houston to Stamford to buy that place over.
Mm-hmm.
He bivouacked where Lovefield is
mm-hmm.
one night, and that's where he stopped and spent the night. And he said he got out of there. He said there was too many Indians around. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to spend the night up there. He kept going.
Yeah.
So that's how you heard it.
That would have been right at the turn of the century.
Yeah. 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in West Texas 7 married years.
Mm-hmm.
So he went up there and bought a place and moved up there and hailed her. Got him every year, so he got tired of that and he decided to leave her.
Well, let's see. I'm such a good time. Okay, roads. I have determined, of course, about Hertz Road. We call it Hertz. I guess somebody just called it Hertz. I don't know. But Hertz Road, of course, was the main thoroughfare. You would go in on what's now Sandy Lake Road and turn right on Hertz, right, and go over the river and up around before Denton Tap was extended up there. I have an old map that shows that. Do you remember anything about that?
I never did know the Hertz Road there was.
You can even see where it used to be up there. Next time you go down here, you get to Hertz on your left, look up to your right, and you can see the tree line, and it goes straight up through and over. John Arthur told me there's a bridge up there over the river that they used to repair all the time. He said, when you wanted to go north, that's the way you want. Well, on Hertz Road, which is eventually
where the gate is.
Yeah, where the gate is.
Well, you know, there used to be a cable bridge over there on Denton Creek. I remember the old cables up there. I don't know whether that may be still up there on some of that
tree. I remember some of that, too.
And back in the middle 30s, you know, there was a truck went through there one Sunday morning with the oil well equipment, and the load was too high, and it had the steel over top of it, you know, and top of the rig. Caught that steel up there, and that thing just went right down in that creek. I mean, it just caved the whole bridge in. But that was somewhere along the middle 30s.
All right, now tell me about the roads. Let's say, as early as you can remember, whatever. Let's say you were going this direction on what is now Sandy Lake Road, which in those days would be 77 or Denton Road or whatever. You're going that way, and you come to, what is now Denton Tap, I guess, huh? Do you remember that road? What's the earliest remembrance you have of that road? Did you always turn left there?
That's awfully, it seemed to me like that. I don't ever remember anything. We always went, we used to go to Ludville after rain. That's when Dad always go to Ludville and buy mules, because we buy young mules and break them in, and as soon as we break them in, he'd sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So after rain, that was the first thing I did, is get in the wagon and go to Ludville and pick up two or four mules,
mm-hmm,
and drag them behind the wagon all the way back home over here.
Mm-hmm. And so he would go and turn right on Denton Road and go over that cable bridge you were talking about.
No, that, I don't ever remember the cable bridge, but I remember there was a cable bridge up there at one time because the cables was there. I've seen the cables, but I don't ever remember crossing the cable bridge. It was already a wooden bridge.
What about, you remember Bethel School?
At one time, it seemed like I remember we used to ride horseback, that's all we had to do, them days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was riding through there, and I remember there was no building there or something. I don't know what. I don't remember that much of it. I just didn't pay that much attention to it.
Apparently a church and a school both there. I haven't. Jack and Sally are the ones who remember most of that, which I haven't got fully from them. What about anything about Francis would be much earlier? The parish land, you remember anything about in particular about the parish land? That would be, of course, all of the land from Sandy Lake all the way to Moore Road on that side of Moore Road would be parish land.
Well, Crows, Crows was an old-timer over there. They were there about the time, I guess, we moved up here. Burkhardt.
The survey name for the Crows.
Yeah. And Burkhardt was there, and the old Crow place up there, it was, remember where that old, where Kim Hodge had that old horse barn next across the railroad?
Off of what street?
On the belt line there, going towards, before you get to MacArthur, by the way. You know where Kim Hodge's crossing was?
Yeah.
Well, that first one, this other crossing, that's where you used to go up to old Crow House. You used to have up on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, that old house was an old house when I was a kid. I don't know how long they've been here.
I've been here a long time. I have found copies of Parrish's original land grants and things like that. And of course, see, he died. The original Parrish died real early. And it reverted to Henry Parrish, which was his brother. His brother married his wife and moved in on the homestead. And they hit various land. Most of their land was on that side of Moore, but they did have a plot of land on this side of Moore for a while. Some of the early land deed records show them having land. Of course, they have their family cemetery in there off of Moore Road. And there's the historic Bethel Cemetery, which was part of their land at the time. Of course, he was, best I can determine, James Parrish, was one of the first people ever in this whole territory in 1848 to 52 or something like that. So, Burt Parrish and all those people are real direct descendants of those people. They really are.
Yeah, that Parrish, I always
heard. Coffee or fine, thank you. Please don't be afraid to drink them. What about any other roads, Johnny? What other roads? We know that a lot of more roads disappeared when the power plant went in.
Yeah.
The lake.
Yeah, from
Beltline. What about, let's say, You know anything about the old road that was called Coppell Road between Grapevine and Coppell?
You know, it just seemed to me that we seemed like we didn't go too much to Coppell because it seemed like the dad always hung around Charleston more than he did Coppell. Mm-hmm. I guess because it was in Charleston school.
You didn't think of yourself as living in Coppell?
Well, part of the time, I guess it did, part of the time you didn't.
Where did you get your mail?
We got it to Charleston. Our, see, well, Charleston, you know, Liz Dade went way. Well, Charleston used to come in front of my house here until
really?
A couple of years ago.
Really?
We got mail here for 25 years, I guess.
That's right, I do remember people living on Sandy Lake Road here at Carrollton and Trent.
Well, all the Moore Road was Carrollton.
Yeah, I forgot.
And Ledbetter Road, all of us Carrollton.
But it wasn't really in the city limits of Carrollton, was it? It was just in their delivery area.
That's right.
So you kind of thought of yourself as really kind of living in Carrollton rather than Coppell. Do you remember coming to Coppell? What's the earliest remembrance you have of old Coppell? Any businesses or anything?
Well, I remember.
Getting stuck in
my
little town.
me and Deb, the river is out, so we couldn't go through there. So I guess that was somewhere in 32, 33, something. So we were going to Louisville that time to buy some mules. And we went around right there in front of Deb's house on that corner. And we got stuck right there on that damn corner away. Of course, one of the mules we was working was breaking them in, and you know how they do, you know.
Tell me, what businesses do you remember in there?
Well, I Jim Cotton that was right behind Joe's house, you know.
Yeah.
Remember the cotton gin?
Yeah, I remember where the church building is. But what about anything like the grocery stores?
That store right there on that corner, there was a store right there on that corner. Whatever happened to that store? I was going to ask somebody here a while back. Where Bill's house, where Bill lived, you know. There used to be a store on that corner
there. Was a store there, or are you thinking about the old drugstore?
Well, that was an old drugstore, too, wasn't it?
There was a drugstore between Bill's house and S.B. Leslie's house.
I thought it was right there on that corner.
No, it wasn't around the corner because I remember when I was a kid, it was all boarded up and you had steps going up to it. Right where Jack's old house is, Mary Evelyn's. It was between Mary Evelyn's house now and that house on the corner where that little house is now.
I swerved and down that thing was on
and
the
it faced the street, and what made it so unusual was that it was like it had a curb there. Nothing in Coppell had a curb. And this had concrete steps going up to it. And you'd go up there and peek in there, and it had stained glass. It was huge, old, tall building. And I remember the Assembly of God had services in there for a long time when I was a kid. But it was all boarded up, and eventually they tore it down. Now, I have evidence, which is probably long for your time, that there was a drugstore. As a matter of fact, Mary Ellen has a picture of it, a drugstore located on my father's land that Jeff Bennett, the doctor, owned. Jeff Bennett owned my father's land in a half an acre more and had a house in there and ran a drugstore there on his land. But it was just an old frame building. It had Oddfellows Hall on top of it. Two stories that Oddfellows had up there. No lodge. But what about a general store, a grocery store where, well, now it's an auto parts place
that's
in there.
Yeah, that's always been in there. Mm-hmm.
You always remember a grocery store or something in there?
Who ran it?
Oh, well, Watchcomb run it there for a while. Well, I mean, I don't know who run it before that, though. We lived on Coppell Road. Both of us, two people that lived on Coppell Road used to run a grocery store for it. Old boy, Carpenter, what's his name?
Grace.
He used to run a store in Coppell.
Did he? I didn't know he ever.
Yeah, he was a store in Coppell. And then, the house
you may know who ran
it
for him.
The house, first house on that street going, that old street up there. What's the name of it? It's K Street. People live in that first house on the right side, I think.
Moore.
Yeah, Moore used
Moore,
to have
yeah.
Moore used to have a grocery store up here.
Yeah, and now the lumber yard.
And just like I say, we went to Coppell, but it seemed like our trading ground was more at Charleston.
Well, now you tell me you got stuck on that road down there in Coppell. That means it was just a dirt road?
Yeah, I guess it was must have been a dirt road or something.
And what year would that be?
32 or 33 or something as long as we've never found it. There's been a lot of water running on the bridge since then.
Really? No, Ira Coates was the mail carrier, and according to a thing he wrote, all the mud roads in Coffell had been eliminated by, I don't know when, I wrote it then. There was a thing I read about him, and he said they had been eliminated by probably somewhere around 1940-ish or something like that. 40. Well, I can't remember the date. The record I have shows that the Bethel School was still in existence in 1913. Must have been in Miss Sally Coffell. You remember, yeah, let's see, no, I don't remember, yeah, by 1942, the last mud road in Coffell had been eliminated.
42.
So see, there could be mud roads. I have an old map that shows that road in front of my father's house, which is Bethel, was once called the McKinney Birdsville Road.
Oh.
Can you believe it? It appears on an old map like this. Because eventually you get to Birdsville by going back in there somewhere, you know, I guess. And you could get to McKinney on it if you stayed on it. One way or another, you could. They didn't call roads, you know, you go back far enough. Even into the 20s, the roads didn't always have official names. Let's see, what else can I ask you here? And bore you some more. Well, that's pretty much the roads. What about honky-tonks, Dylan? Beer joints.
How many was up here in Coffeyville then? Dutch at the corner?
That's D-U-C-C-H. Now what corner? Up here?
It was down. That was
a street. Oh, this is down here. Down at...
where the fish bait is now.
Right where the... Okay. On the...
You used to have them one-armed slot machines up there. Nickel a piece.
Now, what kind of building was it?
It was just...
Now, was it just scandalous to go to this building? If you lived around here, did you dare go down there?
Huh?
If you lived around Coffell, would you...
Oh, man, you've been plumb full every night. Plumb full every night. And then there was the old house right here on Moore Road. That used to be a beer joint.
Okay, the corner of Moore and Sandy Lake?
Sandy Lake. Belongs to that old good gal at Carrollton now. I don't know who owned it then.
The house that's there now, so you're talking about?
The house is still there. That's on that corner where the beer joint was.
That's the same house.
Same house.
Corner of Moore and
Sandy Lake.
It's just that little house that's
over
the front porch on it.
Mm-hmm.
On the very old house. They must have remodeled it. What was the name of that one? Do you remember?
Well, don't tell this to nobody. Cecil and I had it for a month. 2 months.
You owned it for a month?
Yeah, I was going to put that down.
How'd you get it?
Oh, the old boy run it. At that time, I guess, owned it or something. His old boy run it. He wanted to go back to California. So we ran it. I think it was $10 a month. And had this old boy.
You didn't own it, you just rented it.
Yeah, we just gonna rent it. And we thought we'd get maybe he could make $10-$15 a month out of it. It's them days, you know, $10-$15 a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we had slot machines in then, had cigarette machine. Of course, cigarettes was 10 cents or 15 cents a pack, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. And we had that thing, and I guess last month there, we went up there one Saturday night. We brought four or five couples over, different ones. We're going to have a party over, and that's how we're going to eat. Done. Broke all the machines, got all the money out of there, and skipped the country. Yeah, so that was it.
So it didn't really have a name? Or did it?
Just...
So it'd be Dutch's place? Did they call it Dutch's? Just Dutch's?
Yeah, Dutch's.
Down there.
And I don't know.
Well, I mean, some others, and I can tell you.
The Spanish Inn was, well, that you dropped in there was before I stopped leaving these woods.
You got that?
The Spanish Inn must have been somewhere along in here.
Spanish Inn was between Denton Path and...
More?
And then the U-drop Inn.
U-drop Inn.
And then Shot and Elsie's.
Wait a minute, U-drop Inn was where?
It was right there in them woods where these houses are right here.
Simmons?
Okay. There's a lot of them, huh? And what's the next one?
And then the Shot and Elsie's.
Shot?
And Elsie.
And Elsie?
Somebody said he's still living.
It's H-O-T.
See,
the
this house they just tore down here?
That red one, that same looking little red and white one?
Well, that's what it was. They used to have, a nice place up there. I mean, you didn't go in there and raise chains. Shot would throw you out the door. They say he's still living. He's
really?
Been somewhere to know folks from. She died about 7-8 years ago.
You mean, did he live in that house?
Yeah, he lived there before they tore it down. Not too long before they tore it down.
A few months ago, tore it down.
So well,
he hadn't been there for about a year and a half. It was vacant for about a year, I guess.
They lived there when they had a business?
They lived there when they had their business.
Was that building actually it? Was that little house
actually?
In other words, it looked like that except for being painted red and white.
Yeah, that was the beard. And then right there on the corner was they call that? Joe Stout running that up there. I don't know whether you ever hear Joe Stout. He was an old timer in Carrollton. Used to be proud.
What was that when you called?
You drop in? You drop in was over here in the Spanish. You drop in, the Spanish Inn was right in here somewhere. I don't know. All of
those. So you're telling me now about the one that was on the corner then?
Yeah.
It was, you don't remember the name of that? Across the creek, just
on the left. There on the left.
And my father would find his best remember the name of that.
That was the last chance before you get to Oklahoma.
Now tell me, why did we have so many of these things around here?
Well, Irving was left at that time, you know, and this was in somewhere in the Irving precinct.
Mm-hmm.
See, Carrollton used to have their beer joints for a while. They could load it down too.
So Irving was wet, but what? Louisville wasn't it?
Louisville was dry.
So this is sort of your last chance crossing over the county line.
Yes, sir.
So that's why there's many of them here.
And they had I mean, Saturday night you couldn't find parking room down there, please.
Now tell me what year you're talking about. One month.
It was in the middle 30s till I went to service. But when I came back from service, there wasn't no one here. They was all gone.
All gone.
They were all here when I left.
You came back, so say 1935, and you came back to service?
1946.
45.
But when I went in service in 1942, January 1942, they were still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back, there wasn't a beer joint left nowhere.
And you were gone 4 years.
Where'd you go to school?
Don't start that. I went up there one day and teacher wasn't there.
Oh, really? You go to Carrollton?
I quit your age up there, I guess, in 1930. Somewhere in 1929, 30, 31.
If you wanted, if you needed a blacksmith, could you find one in town now? Or did you go to Carrollton?
I know Dad went to Carroll's Top Hill here. There used to be a blacksmith shop just right out of town up there, didn't there? Somewhere.
I remember there was some there.
I remember there was a blacksmith shop up there.
Little laundry was, maybe?
Huh?
Was it laundry was?
No, he's across the street there from Billy Harville somewhere, I think. There used to be a black. Well, there was a gin there, too. I remember the old gin that used to be there, too. Right about where the Assembly of God Church was.
We had two gin cotton gin.
Yeah, I had two cotton gin at one time.
Okay.
That's a pretty historic corner, where the old Assembly of God Church was.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gin was somewhere along in there. I don't know whether it was right there on that corner or not, but he was in there somewhere.
What about movie theaters? You know anything about movie theaters?
Somebody said they had one here in that building.
Yeah, there's a bank here. You know the bank?
Yeah, I remember talking about the bank.
Mm-hmm. I think it had failed by... It didn't fail in the Depression, it failed before the Depression. There was a bank here somewhere around where, you know, the grocery stores were and all in there. Here's on the phone. What about the railroad? If you were here by the early 1900s, the railroad was operating daily, right?
I used to train you down this railroad.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever ride it?
Did. I heard him tell that a couple of times, all I ever did hear him tell it. When he came from West Texas up here, he got off over here at the bridge. There used to be that's where the train stopped and got the water. There used to be a water bowl there, you know, as I call it. That's where the train gets their water, right here at the river, you know. They had a big tank up there. I don't know whether you ever remember the tank or not. It was on the north side of the railroad up there.
North side of where? At what street? Or near what road?
Right here on Beltline, where you get to the river.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They pumped water out of the river right there, and had a big old tank. That thing was, must have been 30, 40 feet across the top. Look out there, you could see it from the south side over the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the train stopped and get the water over.
Mm-hmm.
And he got off there, and Jesse James was on that train that he come through here. So I heard him say that. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Now tell me, there is a pretty well-known fact. You ever heard anything about, let me test your memory on it. You know, sometimes you hear stories about these things. Back long before you ever came along, but maybe you've heard this story, about the murder that took place down on Hackberry Creek. You ever hear anything about a lynching down there?
Well, I think somebody was talking about it sometimes, and I just didn't pay that much attention, but I didn't even know what hanging was mean or anything. But you know, when I remember Dad, this was pretty wild country in here when Dad came up here in 1908,
mm-hmm.
because he bought that land from Crosses. The Crosses used to own that land. And they tell me they were pretty rough characters, the first bunch, you know. Of course, in the last bunch, I knew a bunch of them in Carrollton up there. They were pretty nice people, but they said that first bunch was pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at one time, you know, we were the only Catholics in Coppell. And they say that cross bunch didn't like Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I come, but I think Dad shared a shotgun with him everywhere he went for a long time.
Really?
After he moved over here. So
So they just sort of took them all in their own hands.
Yeah, I think they kind of were pretty rough there. Because, after he got the land, they used to go from the corner of our house where our driveway was, they went straight to the river, across by Catacorn, across there. But after Dad and Joe Fields bought that land over there for the UPR home place, well, they made that road that went straight up there. When he got to the corner up there, we went through our place instead of cutting right Catacorn across the field.
Mm-hmm.
And after they made that road, of course, it was a dirt road down. The Crosses was still, that when they got to the bottom of the hill up there, they could cross the field over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there and them had a few rounds talked about. Because they wouldn't want to go down the road. Mm-hmm. They was used to going right across the field. You'd have stuff planted there, you know, or something, but mm-hmm. they just come right across the field. Mm-hmm. They were pretty tough characters there for a while, I think.
Well, now tell me about, say, when you were 12 or 13. You rode horses everywhere?
You what?
You rode horses everywhere?
Well, Cecil and I don't know if you remember Cecil.
Yeah.
We rode, last year I went to school, so we rode buggy. And we rode at the old Nigger Town, you know, that's before the new Beltline, you know, went where it is now. Used to go onto the railroad and back into town, you know, where the old Nigger Town, they called Nigger Town, there, where the Nigger School used to be up there. You know where the old Nigger School was.
Where
all them buildings are on the left-hand side of the Beltline going in across the railroad up there.
Yeah.
That used to be Nigger Town.
Yeah. How about the railroad? They called it Four Town, too?
They had school up there, my gosh. They had school there till 1950, didn't they? Because the old gal, Nicky gal, teaching up there, you know.
Now this is after you pass 35 now.
No,
35
it's on this side. This is west of 35. Side. Yeah. And we used to tie a horse up there at the Nigger Wheels old place. And we'd walk from there to the school. The school was there on Beltline, you know, on the left of the old high school. That's where the school was. We walk.
Why did you leave your horse there?
Oh, that's got so. We used to take them off to school, but that's when there were about 10, 15 of them riding buggies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the last one, then they tore all the sheds down up there and they wouldn't let them bring horses.
Oh,
up.
I see.
So we just.
But now your school was probably located all the way up to where the old Carrollton High School is. Yeah, it's now junior high, right?
The old Perry. Building there next to Beltline.
Yeah, Perry, yeah.
Perry, the old Perry.
Yeah, all the way up, so that was quite a walk. Did you run it?
Yeah. And the last 2 years I went to school, Cecil and I went to Oakland, to Catholic school.
Really?
So we rode our horseback, we rode our buggy to Nickertown up there, tied the horses up there, you know, and then walked to, you know, where old Blanton feed mill was.
Mm-hmm.
We catch a streetcar, not streetcar, but in Nervy.
In Nervy.
That run from Denton to Dallas. We'd catch that thing and go way down on Oakland Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we had to walk 4 or 5 blocks. It went down off to get down Watch Street. It went down, and then we had to get off, and we walked to school out there, and then come back to the evening.
It must have taken you an hour to get to school,
I think. Well, it didn't take us too long from the house to Carroll. Well, that little old black horse, we worked that buggy. I mean, you go around them corners, you had to hold on.
Took a buggy to school.
I rode the buggy, I guess, till I quit school. That's all. We always rode that buggy.
Now, buggy, meaning the kind of buggy I'm thinking about would be the black thing with the top on it. That was a buggy. It holds, what, 2 people?
2, sometimes you can get 2 in the back.
So when you were working, you rode horseback, right?
We might have rode the horseback. We would have knocked the wheels off that thing, and we couldn't find no wheels for it. And right there, 1 year before we finished that year of school, I think we rode horseback down there. But most of the time, we were always riding the buggy. At that time, I think it was Preacher Thompson's kid was riding the buggy, and the Crow kid was riding the buggy, and from this part of town, and they were, at one time, there were about 8, 10, 12 buggies, kids were riding buggies over. Right on the north side of the school, they had stalls for horses and stuff. You bring them up there, tie them up, mm-hmm. unhitch them, take the harness off of them, tie them up, feed them, take feed with you. Even there during the day.
Mm-hmm.
The kids do that nowadays?
No, they don't do that now. Don't do much anything now. Let me see, I've seen if there's anything I can take your brain on. Tell me about the clothes you wore to go to school.
I think it's just blue jeans. My blue jeans is 35 cents for a pair of pants and 35 cents for a shirt.
Overalls?
No, we didn't wear overalls. Wear them blue pants. I don't, you don't see them no more. And some old denim shirts. I remember them things was 35 cents. Each one of them was 35 cents. Sometimes
and the pants were blue denim too?
Yeah, I think they were blue denim. Most of the time I get that's why they were. I think on the last day we did wear overalls. But that's why most of them wore it at that change.
Hat?
I guess we must have worn that. I don't remember.
What about your shoes? What kind of shoes did you wear? Did you buy your shoes?
I guess so.
Make them?
No. They had shoes. I never did go barefoot like they did in Arkansas. They said they'd be 30 years old before they knew what a pair of shoes was. We always had shoes. Of course, we only had two pairs. One Sunday shoe and one shoe what? During the week. Mm-hmm. You didn't wear that Sunday shoe during the week either.
Even I did that. I had a swimsuit and a good pair of pants. Shoes, that's what you want. When do you remember your first automobile?
I bought a 35 Chevrolet from Michigan. She was secretary of Vandegrift Chevrolet. Miss May.
Yeah, okay.
She had, I think, 600 or 700 miles on that thing. I gave her $300 for it.
That was Vandegrift Chevrolet is where she worked? She was a secretary?
I guess he was still doing the book for him. That's when the old man was still running the Chevrolet house.
So it was just a coincidence that she worked for a car company, but you bought it from her. You bought her own.
She got a new one, and she just drove hers. I think she lived there on College Avenue somewhere. All she drove is from College Avenue to Vandegrift. They used to be there on the square, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think he had 6 or 7 thousand or something like that, or 600 or 700. I forget how what it was. I give it $300 for it. Of course, that time you could buy a new one for $5.
Let me ask you a hard question. I don't know if you'll ever answer this. If you take your memory back to whenever, I've had trouble tracing down Highway 121 as it goes out of Louisville and comes over there on the other side of Fleet Road. Makes its way up through Grapevine. Apparently, well, I'm sure of this, that by 1914, that was not 121, it was 114. 114 through Grapevine was made that jog through Grapevine and went on that way. Later it passed the town and they built it, you know, south of there. But what the road that goes in front of Daring's a Daring Service Station now in Grapevine, that was 114. Mm-hmm. At what point did 121 come in there? Do you have any idea? And I've been to highway records and everything. It's unbelievable what the highway records all show.
Well, did 121 used to just end there as you go into Grapevine?
Mm-hmm.
I think it did. I don't know why it ended.
He would just come in and
die down that right 114, there. I believe. Best I remember it. Good God, I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to the old gym days.
Well, that's the thing. Most people didn't, and so they hardly even had names. You know? I haven't been able to find out where Beltline came from unless it came from the railroad, but see, that road coming up out of Irving and coming in here has been there. I have a map of, like, 1890 that shows a road there. It wasn't because they didn't have any names on it. I even have a map that shows houses where people owned houses and rented houses and had family names and stuff. It's not very complete, but it is a lot. It also shows Hertz Road going straight on through and over the river, and there's no Denton Tap, and it's not labeled, and, you know, I figured out where Bethel School Road went, which was the same as Bethel, and all that sort of stuff, and Moore Road, of course, went all across to Hackberry, and stuff like that. But because it's at the corner of the county, you can't find maps. It'll go to the corner of the county and it'll stop.
Well, you know, that's what you have to come to think about that first road up here. I think that Hertz Road has died down the foot of the hill over there, because I believe there used to be an old house up there.
You mean north here of Sandy Lake?
North of Sandy Lake. I don't think it ever went all the way down through there, but I think it died down the foot of the hill, because I think there used to be a house right where Tim Perkins land right on the other side of that thing. I think
yeah, but it wasn't that the way to get to Louisville?
Yeah, I think that's where
right.
It had to be
open
to get to Louisville.
Well, the old Dan Tap Road was a main road. That was 77 Highway to Louisville.
The old maps,
though,
see, don't show anything. They don't show anything existing. They show that you went as far as Hertz Road, and then there wasn't anything that side of Hertz Road. You came down Hertz Road and connected with Bethel, and then went into Coppell that way. Now, that may have been before 1900, though, see. Denton Tap has probably been there. Well, see, the secret is these things start out as dirt roads, and then they get improved. So there's probably been some form of Denton Tap since probably the early 1900s. Yeah. But John Arthur remembers repairing the bridge on Hertz Road that crossed the river.
No, there was a bridge up there.
You claim there was
why would there be a bridge crossing if you're on Hertz when they had a swinging bridge?
Well, it was before the swinging bridge. He says before they built that, there was one on Hertz Road. And he says, and then eventually that was abandoned. And there's a map that shows Hertz Road abandoned through there. And then they extended what we know as Sandy Lake Road up to the Ottinger Corner, I call it, and then Denton Tap by that time was running north, and they built that bridge, that cable bridge you're talking about, through there in the Louisville. But you know that road, just another subject, you know Denton Tap, as you pass the creek, Denton Creek up there, and you go from there on over to where it connects with 121, that stretch of road has always been strange. You remember it's always been, you know, the Dallas County would keep everything paved up to that, and then it was awful. It used to be treacherous to drive, wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody was always arguing who you belong to, who's supposed to keep it up.
Right. There was also a, see, I went back as far, you know, the Peters Colony thing, which is all of Dallas County, mostly. Well, there was a Peters Colony Company store up there somewhere around, best I can tell, around where that road turns to Fire Mountain, whatever that is. Up there around United Methodist, what's that little church called up there? But anyway, there was a store up there.
Look, how long has that church been there? Do you remember?
That church has been there.
Well, we had left their cafe, and a bunch of them got to arguing about it the other day over at cafe. Some said, oh, he's just been there. I said, I remember going to a funeral up there back in the late 30s.
There was a German.
It's a German church.
They built it there themselves. This is Barfnick, who used to live next door to us, went there. And,
there's a strange hill goes up there, you know.
Yeah, I have it in my record somewhere. It was there. It was built by that German community. And they were immigrants. They were German immigrants who came there to settle. And that was probably before 1900. Way before 1900. As a matter of fact, it was probably in the 1880s. And the railroad came through in 1890.
I told them it's been there 75, 80, 100 years before it was supposed to, I imagine. They said, oh, no, it's just been up there. I said, that church was there. I remember back in the middle 30s, I remember that church being there. Well,
Johnny, I'm going to ask you one more major question. Do you remember what stories or what major events in your mind ever happened in this area? Anything major ever happened here? Bank robberies?
We was picking cotton right there where that road. You ain't gonna leave us.
Yeah, I do.
Come to that bit of road where you went down to the river almost then cut back where the where the liquor joint, beer joint is, that corner up there. We was picking cotton right in that corner. And that was, Clyde and Bonnie Parker.
No, that was 1930.
6, 7, 8.
You already heard about that.
Well, no, I only about know about the one in Grapevine. What do you know?
Well, here we see that at that time it was gravel road, you know, it wasn't asphalt. And we was right there, and you could see top of Hackberry Road up there, old man White's place. You could see these two cars, and you could see dust flying and everything. One of them was about 1,000 yards ahead of the other. here they come. We're sitting talking right in that corner. Here they come. Bonnie and Clyde and the Dallas County Sheriff after them. But they could call them if they wanted. But they stayed the same distance behind them all the time.
Could that have been in 1934?
I don't know what year it was. But I remember that. And they come around there and come find out that's who they were chasing, Bonnie and Clyde.
And they went on down at what?
They went on to Fort Carrollton somewhere. I don't know where they went.
Well, it was 1934 that Bonnie and Clyde killed the policeman in Grapevine out on Dove Road. Killed the policeman and then disappeared. That may have been them running away.
It might have been them running. But the Dallas County Sheriff car was following them then.
Well, you know John Arthur, again, Mike's grandfather, tells the story that he was, one of his friends, was friends of Clyde Barrow. And they would actually, John Arthur can remember being in this guy's house, not Clyde's, but the friend, being in his friend's house, and when Clyde Barrow would come around and honk, they couldn't come in because of the parents. If they would honk, and his friend would know to go out and meet him somewhere. And John Arthur said he saw Clyde Barrow. Okay. So they were around in this area, so I'm not telling you.
Well, Frank, after my brother said that, he knew a book of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that as close to them, I said that's who it was. I'm finding out later, of course, there wasn't no television, but the headphone radios them days, and we found out later that that's who it was. Dallas County Sheriff was chasing them, but they sure didn't want to catch them.
Anything else you think of that happened around here?
No, the only thing I can think that happened about 5 years ago, they told me it couldn't be your buddy Brown.
And you proved them wrong.
I started having a meeting in my house 2 months before Christmas. You got it. He stepped on my toes a few times.
He stepped on a lot of people's toes. Tell you, you know how I knew him most of all? He was a good friend with Jim Mudd. And I always said, if you want to know what Jim Mudd's like, look at Andy Brown. If you want to know what Andy Brown was like, look at Jim Mudd. And Jim Mudd and I are still good friends. But it's because he knew what I was and I knew what he was. And we didn't hide any secrets from each other. And Andy Brown and I got along all right, but I can remember him being up in Mudd's. He was always over at school at Mudd's office. That's Mudd's principal in those days. And they were two pieces apart. And I can remember saying that when the papers were accusing him of all kinds of things, I can remember saying that Andy Brown, but the election was coming up, and I was trying to decide who to vote for. And I said, Andy Brown, if those things, that he's raising Cain about the papers, saying those things about him. I guess it was the advocate or whatever it was called in those days. In the mouth, I don't know. I said, Andy Brown, if it's not true, then you tell me what's not true about it. I said, we have a right to know. And he just came all around him and said,
he got on my toes two or three times. The last time he got on, that's when we marking them your party for
Richard
Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And that barbecue stuff and everything. Had to work middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, me and Brown already had a few run-ins together. Of course, he kept sat right here in my living room. I told him there was a door. That's when he was married.
Mm-hmm.
Because we was trying to get this better Ray Paul Hospital. They were going to build. They done had to build. And he goes up there and puts all that stuff in the paper. And when we got ready to go up there and get the okay from it, well, all these little towns there were Grapevine, Louisville, Carrollton, Irving. We don't need no more hospitals. We got plenty of hospitals. We don't need no hospital in Coppell. And he broadcasted before St. Paul wanted to be broadcast there. They wouldn't do it. See, they bought the land away. They got the land over here and everything. And so he knocked it in the head.
I'll tell you, Andy Brown.
All he was doing, he... Oh,